Well, happy Easter, everyone. I think we need to give it up for those kids one more time. I mean, that was just a blast. Well done, kids. I know for some of you all, it was a big feat. I know for my daughter, she was sitting there like, I don't know if I want to be up there. That's a lot. And she's looking at me. Well, I guess both of them, but that's okay. I used you in a sermon illustration, so now you get a dollar. See? Perfect. All right. You know, the amazing thing for me as we celebrate the Easter season is we actually end up looking at opposites. Have you ever considered that we celebrate opposites? And so kids, I know some of you have been learning about opposites in school. And so can you help me out with a couple things? Just yell out, what's the opposite of death?
Life.
Yes. What's the opposite of bad?
Good.
What about losing? Right? We know these things. I'm going to do some more complicated ones, so I'm just going to speed through these ones, all right? Servant to Lord. Loneliness to relationship. Sin to salvation. Easter is all about opposites. See, at the cross, Jesus died, hope was lost. But on Easter, we find that the body is no longer in the tomb, but that he is risen, he is alive, that hope has come. So today, as we open up this new series, which is Identity Found in Christ, and this is a series that we're actually going to continue in the next couple of weeks here too, so I hope that you'll come back next week and join us as we continue to talk about the identity that we find in Jesus. Allow me to share with you what one of Jesus's closest followers, kids, do you know Peter? Have you heard of him? Yeah. So he wrote this letter, and we find it in the Bible in 1 Peter. He says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted." Any of you know what retaliation means? What's that? Slapping someone back? That works. Yeah, he didn't slap someone back, right? "Nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away." I wonder, kids, have you ever had like a dog or a pet that's like wandered away, that left home? You guys did? How did that make you feel? Sad? Not good? Right? Yeah. Once you were like a sheep who wandered away, like that beloved animal that wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Jesus has found you. That, okay. You know, I remember, maybe you've had an experience like this where a close friend ended up doing something that really, really hurt you. Right? Maybe it was your best friend, whatever it might be. For me, it was a person that I had met a couple of years previously, and it seemed like we got along really well, but then it just seemed like this person, time after time, kept on doing things that would put me down and would belittle me and were tearing me down. And what this ended up bringing was a pain, an anxiety, and a disillusionment. I came to a place, and kids, maybe you've been here, where because I made this friend and this friend hurt me, I was afraid to make other friends. Have you ever been there? Right? And so I went through this experience and, you know, praise God, I feel like I've come out the other side of this. But what is really comforting to understand in this season of the church year is that nothing that we go through, nothing I went through, is anything that Jesus didn't also experience himself. He experienced friends betraying him. Did you know that? He experienced his closest friends running away when he needed them most. My Jesus knows what I've been going through. He knows what you're going through right now. And see, that's the great thing about when we follow Jesus, is he only ever asks us to do what he's already done. And furthermore, he actually promises that we won't go through it alone if we invite him with us. And so it is that my identity in Christ as one who is not alone, but who overcomes, as I die to myself, I become more like Jesus who raised to life. You hear that opposite? Death and life. I don't know what you're going through right now, parents, grandparents, kids, but I know that in every one of our lives, there's things that are going on that maybe are really difficult for us to handle. There's people that have hurt us. There's situations that have us down. And we might just be wondering, how can I keep going? What's the point of all of this? But here's what Matthew, one of Jesus' followers, recorded about Jesus' life. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11. We see, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Now, this isn't an egg yoke, okay?
An egg yolk.
It's not an egg yolk. It's not. It's not an egg yolk. It's something that you would put on an ox or a beast of burden to help carry heavy loads. And so it was this big piece of wood that would go over their shoulders, but it usually had two spots. And so you would put a big ox with a younger ox, and the big ox would carry most of the weight and guide the way. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, "Take my yoke upon you." He's not saying that he's the rancher that's putting the yoke on you. He's saying that it's his yoke because he's the bigger beast of burden. He's the big one. And so as we go through life, he goes through it with us and he helps us. "Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart," he says, "and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light." Jesus doesn't promise that there will be no pain, that there will be no hardship, that there will be no suffering. But what he says is that he walks through it with us. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we're able to be in this place celebrating your life, celebrating your death and resurrection, the life that it brings to us. And so, Lord, today, as we consider what it means to be victorious because of your victory, I ask, Jesus, that you would help us to understand the things that are said. And Lord, that you would take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what is it that Easter is all about? Okay, I'm not going to call on my kids. They know. Yes. The resurrection. That's right. So what you're saying is it's not about candy. It's not about Easter bunnies?
No.
No? It's about the resurrection. It's about God, as my son shared with us. No, see, we like to have the candy, right? Like I love the candy. There's some great candies out there now. I remember when I was a kid, the candy was cheap and meh. You know what I mean? Like, you know how it was like, yes, Easter candy. And then you would eat it, and like after three pieces, you'd kind of go, "Eh, it's candy." Right? I mean, now the candies that these people have, like, did you know that there's Lindor Easter bunnies now? And did you know that there's like Reese peanut butter cup Easter bunnies? Like, that's pretty cool. Parents, I'm really sorry. Now your kids are going to be looking at the $3 Easter bunny that you got them, and they're going to be like, come on. Right? But kids, it's not about the Easter bunny. It's about Jesus. It's about the resurrection. It's about life. And so I think that it's only fitting on Easter, especially since we didn't have a Good Friday service, that we read the story about what Easter is about. And so what I want to do is I want to go back to that book of Matthew that we were just in, and I want to bring us to a place. Jesus is on the cross. He's been there for a while. And we come to Matthew 27, verse 50. Then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. Does anybody know what releasing his spirit means? Caleb, go ahead. He released the sins. I mean, yes, that's what happened at that moment. Becca? He died. Yes, he released his spirit. He died in that moment. But here's the crazy thing. Are you ready? See, so many people, they forget about this stuff. So Jesus dies on the cross. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two, symbolizing that the barrier between God's holiness and the people of the earth was ripped apart. That nothing was keeping us from God's presence. From top to bottom, the earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead, and they left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. Friends, the zombie apocalypse already happened. The Roman officer and the soldiers who were at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had already happened. And they said, this man was truly the Son of God. And many women who had come from Galilee were with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate. Pilate was the guy that was in charge of the place where Jesus was, and asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered issued an order to release the body to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth, and he placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. The next day, on the Sabbath, the leading priests and the Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will raise from the dead. So, we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and telling everyone that he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be so much worse off than we were at first." And so Pilate said, "Take guards, take soldiers, and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. Can I tell you that those guards probably thought that they won the lottery that day? You know, usually we have to like guard hardened criminals in prison and that kind of thing. But today we just get to sit outside by this dead guy's tomb and just make sure no one goes in. Pretty easy, right? So early on Sunday morning, Easter morning, the new day was dawning and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Kids, can you help make an earthquake? Exactly. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook with fear when they saw him and they fell into a dead faint. They were just like, "Nope." Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said, "for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Come," or just as he said would happen, "come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." So the woman ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Kids, I want to ask you something. Have you ever gone to like visit maybe a grandparent's grave or something like that? Have you ever gone to a graveyard before? Yeah. So what would you do, kids, if you were wandering up to the grave that you were supposed to be visiting and there was just a big hole and the casket was open and there was no one there? What would you do? Just go ahead and yell it out. Scream? Freak out? Get the shotgun? All right. Run away? Now, what if you're staring at the hole and all of a sudden there was an angel that appeared sitting on the headstone and was like, "Don't be afraid." What would you think? You'd pass out? Yeah.
I'd be like,
"Yeah." "No, I'm out." That's hey. Running away. Right? Wouldn't it make an impact on you? Now, let me ask you this. What if the person whose grave you were going to visit had told you before that he was only going to be dead for 3 days and you came back 3 days after he died and he was whoop, gone? Freak out less? All right. Here's the thing I want us to remember today, okay? Is Jesus won the victory over death, and he offers it to all who follow him. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. He calls us to follow him in life and in death. In fact, when we are baptized, and I know many of you all have been a part of our baptism services or have been baptized here, and you go under the water and you come back up, symbolically that says, "I am dying with Christ and being raised to life in him." You are being victorious over spiritual death. That's what's happening, guys. And so I know for some of us, death is a pretty scary thing, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that? I know it's more of a thing that us adults think about. But you know what? When I start to realize that and remember that death has been defeated, that it doesn't hold the same power that it could. Because for me, I know that in this life, I have life. But even in death, my spirit continues on with Jesus. And that is a marvelous thing to consider. This week, I hope that each one of you will ask Jesus to help you live as a person who has died to sin and has new life through Jesus. Because Jesus won the victory over death, and he offers it to all who follow him. The great missionary, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to the church in Rome, "Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." Someone say, "Live new lives." That's what we get to do because of Jesus. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know that we will live with him also. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Say this with me. Death no longer has any power over him. And when he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. That is the marvelous message that we all get to rejoice in, that through Christ in his death on the cross and his resurrection, even though we might experience people saying they don't want to be our friends anymore, even though we might experience things that make us really sad in our hearts, That we can know that the biggest things that we're afraid of, that the most difficult situations we go through, that we have a faithful friend and Savior to walk with us through it all, that we are never alone, that we don't do it alone, but that there is one who has defeated the grave, who is alive and once was dead, who says that just as I died and rose again, so if you will believe in me, you will have new life. See, I don't know about you, probably more of a thing that the teens and the adults have experienced, but maybe you've experienced the feeling of hopelessness or brokenness in your life, in your day-to-day living. Maybe you've wandered this earth and you've seen this thing doesn't seem right and that thing doesn't seem right, and why would God allow these things? And the answer is because of sin. Sin is all those things that don't honor God. God created us to live a certain way, to be a certain way. And when we rejected God as a human people, when we pushed him to the side, when we didn't live up to who we were created to be, sin entered the world and it broke the world. And I know a lot of us, we try to fill that brokenness, that void inside of us with lots of things, right? It might be with video games. It might be with kids. It might be trying to swear to be like your friends at school. You know, it might be that we fill the brokenness by working really hard because we figure if we just get more money or if we just get a bigger house or if we just get better friends, that brokenness is going to go away, right? If I could only be in the popular crew, with the popular kids, if I could only be the manager instead of the employee, things would be so much better. I just wouldn't have this hold in my heart anymore. And so as we try to fill these things, what we find is that we have maybe brief moments of, oh, that's better. But I think any adult in this room, at the very least, and probably all the teens, can say that every time we pursue something to make ourselves feel better, it's only for a little while, isn't it? And it's just, you're right back to feeling like something's not right again. Because the thing is that we are meant to have a relationship with God, and sin breaks that relationship. But God, in his infinite mercy and love, he looked down on those that he had created and he didn't desire to give up on us. He knew we couldn't fix our situation ourselves. And so God came to earth in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And he lived the life that we could not live. And he took upon himself the punishment for everything wrong in the world. So that anyone who says, yes, I believe in Jesus and I want to follow him, will begin to see their heart mended, dies to sin and is raised to new life in Christ. We are victorious when we believe. And so as we continue in this path, this journey with Jesus of seeing our lives made whole, our spirit is made whole, but our lives continue progressively to move to be more like Jesus and more like Jesus, what we find is that it's no longer about the strength I have, but it's about the strength he has. It's no longer about my ability to overcome whatever may come about. It's about his ability to overcome. It's no longer about how cool my friends are, or if I sit at the best lunch table. It's no longer about if I have the best job, or if I have the most money, or the nicest house, or the nicest car. And anybody that's seen any of my vehicles knows they're not the nicest cars, you know? It's about Jesus. It's about his life. Kids, it's about the life that Jesus offers you. And it's a life that's still going to have struggle. It's still going to have pain. Things aren't always going to turn out the way that you think that they should. But the wonderful thing is that you have a loving Heavenly Father who desires that you would honor him, but also experience his joy. That no matter what happens, you can say, I have my God with me. And he brings me peace. And it's all going to be okay. And so as we close today, I just want to lead us in a prayer. As we consider and reflect on this fact that Jesus has defeated death and that we are victorious, as the kids get super excited because the balloon drop is coming up. I just want to ask you today, have you considered following this Jesus? Have you considered overcoming the death that sin brings in our lives and having your spirit raised to new life? That by the wounds that Jesus suffered, your spirit is healed. Have you thought about that? Is Jesus someone that you say, I would like to believe and follow? And if that's the case today, and I hope that it is, I would encourage you to pray with us this simple prayer. I'm going to ask that everyone bows their heads and closes their eyes. Kids, can you do that? Can you put your head down and close your eyes? If we can have nobody looking around right now. And I'm just going to ask right now that if you're not following Jesus, but you want to be, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, would you just slip up your hand so that I can be thinking about you as I pray with you today? Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. You can put your hands down today. Right now, I'm going to lead us all in a prayer, giving our lives to Jesus. And understand, this prayer isn't magical. It actually is just us speaking with our lips what's already happened in our hearts and in our minds. And so let's all pray this together. Will you repeat after me? Heavenly Father, I know that I mess up a lot. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus for me. Today I give you my life. Please give me yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and transform me by your love. I commit today to follow you for the rest of my days. And I thank you that when I fall flat on my face, when I make the biggest mistake ever, you still love me. You still hug me. And you help me back up. And you never leave me. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone, if you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you to the family of God. Let's just give them a round of applause today. If you don't have a Bible or any devotional materials, I would love to get those things into your hand so that we can help you in this next steps that you have in your faith journey with Christ.